Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville and Debbie Lassiter. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Today's topic is adoption. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU FM 100.5 on your dial and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our topic today, the miracle of adoption. Our guest expert is Julie Bowles, the Director of Foster Care and Adoption at Catholic Charities. Dr. Brad Hoover and his wife Michelle will join her later to round out our panel. Now, a great big welcome to you, our guests, and to you, our listeners. Now, my monologue. Think a minute about the fact that we are all adopted sons and daughters of God. Kind of frightening, isn't it? But comforting, too. There is a long tradition of child adoption in the world, and it began in Genesis, when Joseph, son of Jacob, was sold into slavery by his jealous half-brothers, adopted by the Pharaoh, and rose to prominence in Egypt. The next recorded adoption was Moses, when he was 3 months old and adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter. He too became a great leader. In the book of Esther, Mordecai adopted the child Esther when both her parents died. She, like Joseph and Moses, played a major role in the survival of the Jewish people. She eventually married the king who had signed a decree to have all the Jewish people killed. Queen Esther caused him to change his mind and rescind the order. Now that was a long, long ago in a country far away, but last year in the United States, 70,000 children were adopted. Yet there are about 2 million people currently waiting to adopt in the United States. This means there are as many as 36 couples waiting for every child who is placed for adoption. The sad news is that there are approximately 450 kids in foster care, many of them up for adoption. Even more frightening is that almost 1.5 million babies are killed by abortion in the United States every year. Recently, I saw a young man who, along with his two brothers, had been adopted 6 years earlier. Phil was at the time 13, and his brothers were 15 and 11. Dad left before the sons had a chance to know him, and Mom was a drug addict and eventually lost custody. They lived their early childhood without a dad or a mom and spent many years in and out of foster care. According to Phil, after being adopted, they all enjoyed high school, played sports, and had decent GPAs. After high school, Phil worked for a year before deciding to become a Marine. I wish you could have met him. He had an infectious smile, a great attitude of gratitude, and was the boy every family longs to have. I keep thinking how lucky these boys were to have been adopted by such a generous, hardworking, loving family. Many who aren't familiar with Joseph's story might argue that adopting preteens and teenagers is not wise. While that may be true in some cases, this family proves otherwise. The success of any adoption depends on the attitude of the parents and the kids. There are far too many older kids waiting adoption. One national organization, Adopt Us Kids, had this to say: of the 450,000 children in the United States foster care, 108,000 are under the age of 18 and currently waiting for adoptive families. Now, sorry to burden you with these statistics, but I do want you to know how many wonderful kids are just waiting for a family to help them develop into all they can be. Now, before I introduce our guest expert, let us consider three aspects of infant adoption. First, consider the birth mother, and when available, the birth father. Pro-lifers are often criticized for not providing care for these mothers. We must find a way to provide them with prenatal care and cover costs of delivery. Sometimes it's necessary to even provide housing, food, and clothing, as well as mental health consultation to prevent pre- and postnatal issues. Pregnant girls, especially teen girls, need to know that 8 out of 10 teen pregnancies, the fathers will abandon both mother and the baby. This often means that babies and their mothers will live their lives in poverty. Far too many of these children will end up being abused by the mother's new boyfriends. Now, these are societal problems which must somehow be addressed. Removing the stigma of giving a baby up for adoption and the embarrassment of being infertile and adopting it is a big step. The second consideration, and well done by most adoption agencies, is prenatal screening of the adopting couple for disease, mental health issues, financial stability, and the presence or absence of social and family support. Third, we need to consider the new parents. They need to be given classes in infant and child care, which must be a continuing process available until the child reaches adulthood. Pediatricians are good sources for this advice. Our guest expert today, Julie Bowles, has worked for Catholic Charities for 18 years, the last four as the Director of Adoptions, Foster Parenting, and Pregnancy Counseling. She supervises the International Adoption Program, the Domestic Adoption Program, and is involved with preparing families in Middle and West Tennessee to become foster parents. She lives in Franklin, Tennessee with her husband of 23 years, John. They have three biological boys aged 19, 16, and 15 and attend Forest Hills Baptist Church in Franklin. Welcome, Julie, to WBOU 100.5 FM on your dial and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me and inviting me today.
Well, your CV is so impressive, and I was thinking your workload must be pretty impressive, too. How are we doing with our adoptions here in Middle Tennessee?
You know, I think we're doing a great job with adoptions in Middle Tennessee. Adoptions are well accepted in Middle Tennessee. We have many families that are coming to adopt internationally, domestically, as well as pursuing being foster parents. So we have a growing number of families each month who have built their families through adoption or foster care.
Julie, could you tell us a little bit about the differences between open adoption, semi-open, and closed adoptions?
I think that's a great question because sometimes there's a lot of myths that are involved in that. And we like to define open and closed adoptions along a spectrum. So if you can visualize closed adoptions at one end of the spectrum and open adoptions at the other. And a closed adoption would be a situation where the adoptive parents and the birth parents only exchange medical or social history with non-identifying information. And then you move along the spectrum and you have the other end, which is open adoption, which sometimes is misconceptualized as co-parenting. It is not. An open adoption could look like an adoptive family sending pictures and letters to an agency who then pass them on to the birth family. It could look like the birth family and the adoptive family having direct contact, visitation, and communication. So at Catholic Charities, it's our belief through our experience and through best practice that we believe that for a successful adoption to occur, there needs to be some degree of openness. We're not real supportive of closed adoptions because we feel like in the best interest of the adoption triad, the members of that triad, to have some degree of openness. So we encourage that, and we work with both expectant parents considering an adoption plan as well as with adoptive parents to define what that might look like for them and how that might feel comfortable to
them. It's pretty much individualized.
Correct. That's exactly right.
Well, good. What is the difference then between private adoptions and an agency adoption?
Yeah, okay, so the terminology that we would use for that is we would have people that would come to our agency to do what we call an independent domestic adoption and people who would come to do an agency adoption. An independent domestic adoption has become very popular, and I think that's due to our technology and social media. So these are families that come to us for a home study in preparation to be adoptive parents, and then they then take their home study out, and they will submit it to adoption attorneys, adoption agencies of their choice, in pursuit of an independent domestic adoption. An agency adoption is where we do a home study, prepare a family for an adoption, and then we also do a profile for that family, which is in essence kind of like a creative scrapbook of that family that then we present to expectant parents who are considering an adoption plan, and expectant parents can choose adoptive parents that they feel like would be the best fit for their child.
Sounds like it's an intensive investigation.
Yeah, I think so. I think the home study process, it has to be very thorough. It is a huge responsibility for an agency to gather that information on adoptive parents to present to birth families. When you think about birth families making a decision for adoption, this is a very well thought out decision that they're making for the best interest of their child. So it's important for us, and we have to be responsible for gathering that information to present as much detail as we can to the birth family who's considering that family.
You also work with international adoptions. Now, is that as difficult as I've heard?
Yeah, international adoptions is an ever-changing world, and it seems to be changing monthly. The Department of State is the central adoption authority here in the United States. And as a part of that, we have, the United States has signed on to the Hague Treaty for Adoption, which governs how we do adoptions. And the Hague Treaty was put into place to prevent child trafficking, child abduction, mm-hmm. the exploitation of children. So in order to engage in an international adoption, we have a lot of responsibilities to be able to gather the information necessary to confirm that that child is indeed meets orphan status according to immigration standards. So it is a challenging process. There are hundreds of thousands of children internationally that are available for adoption. So it is not a lack of children, but it is the information that we have to gather and be able to put together to prove that child's orphan status.
I still see a lot of kids who were born in Russia or in the Orient someplace, and it just makes you feel so good that these kids have come here and they've... especially those that come from Russia, they're so gracious.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of participating in adoptions in over 34 different countries mm-hmm. Across the globe, and the need is everywhere. And so we're aware of these children that are in need of homes, so what we're doing as an adoption agency is we're trying to find the right family mm-hmm. for that child.
Well, I saw one boy who was 19, and he was adopted when he was 11, mm-hmm. he and his little brother. And when he came here, he had never had a tub bath or a shower. He didn't know the even existed. It was so enlightening to know the difference between where he came from and where he is now. And he was, like I said, very gracious. Julie, tell our listeners how adoption works. What would a couple do if they wanted to adopt the child?
Yeah, great question. So one of the first steps that I would counsel anyone to do is to meet with an adoption counselor to discuss the adoption options, because you have domestic adoption, you have independent agency, you have international, you have the possibility of foster care that can sometimes lead to adoption. So my first advice would be to sit down with an adoption counselor to just talk with them individually about that couple's situation. Some people are coming to adopt due to infertility. Some people are coming to adopt because they sense God's calling in their lives to build their families. Some people are coming to adopt because they've traveled to another part of the world and they've seen the need, and so they want to add to their family in that way. So through that counsel, an adoption counselor can listen to their motivation for adoption and then help to direct them in the path that might be the right path for them. Once that's determined, then the adoption counselor can tell them about the next steps, which are typically getting a home study done, and then the steps vary from there.
Julie, they could come to your services here, or they could go other places. Now, what are some other places that do adoption?
Well, here in Tennessee,
yes.
Some other agencies.
Middle Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, Miriam's Promise is an agency that's here. Small World Adoptions is here. Bethany, there are several agencies mm-hmm. that are here in Tennessee that are licensed adoption agencies.
Does the county have any agencies themselves within the county?
No, I suppose maybe what you'd be referring to is when we are looking at children that are in state's custody, mm-hmm. then the Tennessee Department of Children's Services would oversee those adoption processes. Mm-hmm. So Catholic Charities, for example, has a contract with them to help prepare families to be foster families.
You know, I see a number of kids who have been in foster care and then they were adopted by their foster parents. Is foster care an option which will give you a better chance of getting an adopted kid?
Yes, it can definitely be an option. Typically, children that are in foster care, generally speaking, that they're going to be older children before they are available for adoption. The goal of the Tennessee Department of Children's Services is going to be reconciliation with birth family whenever possible. So whatever the circumstances are, they're going to work with that birth family to try to reconcile that child with them. While the child's in foster care, so the child is safe, while the birth family mm-hmm. is working on whatever issues that they need to work on. Sometimes that just doesn't happen. Sometimes reconciliation isn't possible. So in that event, that child will at some point perhaps become adoptable, and then foster families would have that option.
Okay, now, on the other side of that coin, Julie, what is the procedure if a pregnant woman wants to give her, release her baby to adoption?
Sure. So we receive calls often from pregnant women in the community who are finding themselves in a crisis pregnancy and they're not sure what they want to do. So we counsel with them about their options and talk with them about adoption. We talk with them about parenting. And if adoption is something that they want to do, then we allow we want to educate them about their options, the opportunity to choose an adoptive family for their child. So we spend time counseling with them and educating them about the process and the procedures.
Well, good. Thank you so much. You've given us so much information. I know there will be other questions coming up, but I'd like to introduce our couple this morning. Dr. Brad Hoover is an emergency medicine doctor and has his medical degree from UT, I believe. He is currently Regional Medical Director for Envision Physician Services. He manages emergency rooms for HCA in the Nashville area and in northern Georgia. He is a proud veteran of Desert Shield and Desert Storm. He serves on the board for Small World Ministries, an international adoption agency located in Hermitage. Michelle has her degree in education. She has taught middle school social studies in Brentwood and in Florida. She is currently a homemaker. They've been married for 29 years and have three adopted children. Both are avid adoption and pro-life advocates. They are members of Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood. Welcome, Brad and Michelle, to Parenting Matters on WBOU FM 100.5 on your dial and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org.
Good morning.
Thanks, Par.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Why don't we begin with just telling us your story of adoption. You've had three adoptions, and how did it go with you? How did you make this whole thing work?
Well, we have three children that came to us via adoption, and I put this little quote in my daughter's photo book that I was making for her for Christmas that said, you know, we did not give you the gift of life, but life gave you the gift. Life gave us the gift of you. And I think that's a sweet illustration of what adoption is. All three of our children were not only a gift from God, but a gift from the birth parents who were willing to make that sacrificial decision of allowing someone else to raise their children. In all three of our cases, we got our children as babies. Our first, Liam, we were at his delivery, actually, and his adoption was considered a domestic adoption. We were stationed over in Germany at the time, and a single soldier was pregnant and was so far along that she could not entertain the idea of, you know, abortion or any other options. And so we just happened to have put the word out to the OB clinic where my husband worked that we were interested in adoption. We had been struggling with infertility for a couple of years. So it was just a God thing. She came in and this doctor told her about us and we met her and she wanted us to adopt Liam. So we were at his delivery and it was a beautiful, beautiful way that he came into the world and we became first time parents. So then with our second, when we returned to the States, when our duty assignment was up in Germany, we moved to San Antonio. And when our son was around two, we started thinking, you know, we'd like to continue to grow our family. And it was at that time that we got in contact with Small World Ministries here in Nashville, because we knew once we got out of the military, we were going to settle in Nashville. So we started the paperwork. And as Julie mentioned, international adoptions, that was the route we decided to go with Aubrey, because we wanted an experience where we could travel to another country. There are a lot of children in other countries that need a home. So our agency was starting a program in Latvia near Russia. And so we started the paperwork. It takes quite a while to go through all of the paperwork, you know, everything that's required from INS, the fingerprinting, the home studies. So the whole process to adopt our daughter was about 2 years mm-hmm. before we traveled. And so we traveled to get her in 1997 and brought her back from Latvia. And again, she was around 5.5 months when we brought her home, which is kind of rare. In most foreign adoptions, they're closer to a year or over a year mm-hmm. before they're eligible for adoption. And then with our third, he was definitely a God thing. We were not prepared for his arrival. We had kind of started toying with the idea that, you know, gosh, it would be fun to add to our family again after the loss of our oldest son. And so we had kind of just started the paperwork with our agency again, and there was a new program in the Ukraine, so we thought we were going to go to the Ukraine. But a prayer request was made at a church that there was a young teen couple who wanted to give their baby up for adoption. And our sister-in-law heard of this prayer request and immediately called us and said, oh, you're not going to believe this. And of course, when you hear these things, you're just like, ah, oh, yeah, it sounds good. But we met the family, and 9 days later, Gabriel was ours. So, again, three very unique adoption stories, but I think the common thread is that the birth mother, in most cases, realized that she wanted a better life for her mm-hmm. child.
Well, good. Thank you very yeah. much. Brad, do you have anything to add to that?
No. I will go ahead and say, if I can move forward, I think one thing I'd like to mention is how we present adoption to our children, right, and how it's done. And one story I'd like to share, which I started doing with our kids, when they're very young, okay, 2 and 3 years old, you're laying down with them at night, and a friend of mine did this with his adopted daughter. He just made up a story. I'll never forget it. And it was a little bird story, and a little bird was in a nest, and the parents of that nest couldn't keep her, and so she went to another nest of these other birds, if you will, and you know, the little bird had a name, and he'd just tell the story every night, and the little adopted girl went out this day and did this and came home to their parents, and I just thought that was a brilliant way of just introducing, you know, in a very gentle way that, hey, everything doesn't always appear as it does, you know, with the biological parents and birth parents, but the miracle of adoption, it can be communicated in different ways at any age. So we started doing that early with our kids, yes. too.
That's my next question. Yeah. And would you recommend that for parents? I think it's a unique thing.
I would, and Michelle is really has had more experience with adoption than I did. I was raised in a family with biological siblings, but Michelle had experience with adoption from her siblings, and so I will defer to her about, you know, how open. I just kind of watched her be so open with it, and you know, I had some biases when I first started this, like, okay, is it really my child? But I just kind of defer to her about how her experiences and how she was just took this open stance with our kids at any age too, right? Right?
I think, you know, you have to communicate to the children that this is such a beautiful experience, and it's such a gift on both sides, for the biological parents to know that their child will be well cared for and loved, and for the adoptive child to see that they were chosen to be in this family, that they were loved and valued so much that not only us as parents, but God orchestrated all of this for us to become a family. And so as Brad said, from the time they're infants, and when we lay down at night and read with them, we read books about adoption because we wanted it to be a very positive, beautiful thing. Because yes, I have a younger sister that is adopted. And I think in that time frame, you know, in the 80s, it was kind of treated more as a stigma. And so we wanted to make sure that our kids had a totally different perspective about adoption, that it really is a beautiful thing.
Good. We're almost out of time, but Brad, could you tell us briefly about You know, I know you're both very involved in the pro-life effort. Is there a way we could encourage more single women, and especially girls, to have their babies adopted?
Well, I look at it, you know, I have a personal stake in this now for sure. And when I do talk to single birth mothers or birth mothers-to-be in my current position as an emergency physician, you know, I do inquire about, hey, you know, what do you plan to do? And I hope you will, you know, consider, you know, all options if you are considering adoption. I said, you know, just to kind of echo what Michelle said, it's a beautiful thing for everybody involved. And don't get caught up in the fact that, you know, perhaps a child may have they may find to have Down syndrome or some other condition. And then that kind of, you know, society kind of gives a green light for abortion for those kids. But, you know, story after story of how enriching those children can be to the parents is out there, right? I'll just emphasize that aspect too. That don't, you know, this is not your decision. This is God's decision.
Well, thank you also very much. It was such an exciting discussion. I would love to continue it. I have more questions, but we're out of time, and it's time to wrap it up on WBOU FM 100.5 when you dial, and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. But before I sign off, one quick story. When I was a physician in the Air Force, I was working in the family clinic, and I saw a mother who brought her newborn, one-month-old baby in to see me for his first checkup. And she was just a wonderful lady. And I told her how much I enjoyed talking with her and how healthy her baby was and how proud it was of her. Then she started dressing the boy, and she turned to me and said, "Do you know Dr. Gunderson?" I said, "Yes, I know him. He's a flight surgeon." She said, "Could I see him?" I thought, holy cow, what did I do wrong? You know, I was a new doctor. I didn't know what's going on. And she said, so I said, "Well, is there anything else I can help you with?" And she said, "No, I just want to thank him for this card." And she opened her purse and took off the card, and it read, "Congratulations on your new baby. On behalf of all of us adopted kids, I want to thank you for adopting him. I wish you all good health, and you and your husband the best of luck." Now for your homework. I don't think you have to run out and adopt a baby, but get your family together and talk about adoption. Ask them about any kids they know who were adopted, and tell them about any families you know who have adopted children. And then go to www.adoptuskids.org and browse through the pictures of kids awaiting adoption. I did that, and Mary and I almost adopted twin brothers. make sure your kids know about the miracle of adoption. Let them know how lucky those kids are and how lucky their parents are and how generous people are who adopt babies. Then go to my website, www.parenting-matters.com, and tell us about your experience. And if you would like to be a guest on Parenting Matters, add a short bio to your note and tell me what you would like to discuss. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue, brought to you by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Listen for Parenting Matters Mondays at 12 noon, Saturdays at 11 a.m., and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org. For more information about Dr. Parr, visit his website at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Parenting Matters is another locally produced program sponsored by generous individual donations and through funding from the Bishop's Annual Appeal for Ministries. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded at the studios in the Catholic Pastoral Center.